Booger McFarland was on the ESPN Monday Night Football broadcast the other night, Broncos and 49ers, and he's been generous enough to take the time to give us some more insight into what he saw Monday. He joins us now. Booger, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. How we doing?
We're doing great, Booger. Hey, congratulations on all the success. I'm really excited for you, Boog. Great job on Monday Night Football. Tell me a little bit. I know you spent a little bit of time with the team. What kind of difference do you think Joe Flacco makes for the Broncos as they've been struggling the last couple of years to find themselves a quarterback?
Well, I think it's a lot about confidence. You know, as a guy who played defense, I know what it's like to go out on the field and, you know, you shut a team down two and three and four quarters, and then all of a sudden you look up and you got 3 points, and you're like, man, how can we get this done? And you look on the other side, and you don't really feel confidence that you have a competent guy. I think right now with Joe Flacco's resume, with his personality being Joe Cool, coming in there with Vic Fangio's defense, which, oh, by the way, I think is going to be dominating, I just think that everyone on that team has confidence that they have a guy. Is Joe perfect? No, he's not perfect. Joe is a guy who's proven that he can get the job done on the highest level. And I just think that that's something that Denver hasn't had, is the consistency of that position. And they understand what it's like playing in Baltimore. So he understands, if I don't turn the football over, if I make sure that every drive ends in a kick, and my defense plays lights out, we can win every ball game. And that's all really you want as a player, an opportunity to win every game.
And I think from a contextual standpoint, you know, unlike Baker Mayfield where there's no context, I'm going to give some context. You played for a team in Tampa that had one of the greatest defenses on the planet at the time, but had zero offense. And then you switched and went over to Indianapolis where you had, you know, Peyton Manning running the show, where you had that ultimate confidence. So from a defensive perspective, it certainly helped you guys quite a bit, or helped you in your career to kind of have that quarterback.
Well, without a doubt. And I just look at our quarterback in Tampa, Brad Johnson. You know, Brad wasn't a Hall of Fame quarterback, but when John Gruden got the job, Brad came in, and Brad knew we had a really good defense. Brad's job was we had to get points in a timely manner. We didn't need 40 points. We told Brad as a defense, if you'll get us 17 to 20 points a game, hey, we won't lose many, buddy. So you don't have to take as many chances. You don't have to do things that are out of your comfort zone. We're going to run the football. We're going to do some play-action pass. And it's amazing the confidence that having a veteran like Brad Johnson gave our defense. And we had four Hall of Famers in that defense, but we still needed the confidence from a quarterback, and Brad did that for us. And I think if Joe will play the way that Vic and offensive coordinator Rich Scangarello wants him to play, I think he can do the same thing for Denver.
Visiting with Booger McFarland. All right, on Monday night you kept talking about Drew Lock as the quarterback of the future. Is that automatic? Flacco's only 34. Why can't Flacco be the answer here for 4 to 5 years?
Well, it just depends on your definition of the future. You know, for me, I'm looking 5 to 10 years down the road. I think Joe Flacco can be the quarterback for Denver for the next 2, 3, maybe even 4 years. But at some point, when you have a guy as gifted as Drew Lock, you have to look long-term, or should I say longer-term. I don't think Joe's going to be there 10 years. I think Drew has an opportunity to be there at least 10, especially with the confidence that I have in him after talking to him. I mean, if you visit with Drew Lock, you get a confidence of a guy who he's been under pressure for a long time. I mean, he grew up in Missouri. There was so much pressure on him to go to the state school. And then when he got there, there was pressure on him to be the savior. So he's played with pressure a long time. I just like his confidence, especially how they're going to bring him along. They know that he's not ready yet, but they're going to bring him along slowly. So I've seen the guy in the SEC. He's played football against the highest level of competition, and I think he'll be really, really good at some point.
Booger, you mentioned that this defense can be dominating. You know about dominating defense from your time in Tampa. What is it about this defense that you see that makes you feel that way?
Well, to play dominating defense, there are a couple of things you got to do. Number one, you got to stop the run. And there are several different ways to do it. You can just commit a bunch of guys. And what does that do? That makes your defense have to play a lot of man-to-man coverage on the back end, which the Broncos have traditionally played with Chris Harris Jr. and even going back to when they had Aqib Talib. But I like the way that Vic Fangio and Ed Donatell are going to do it. They're going to play this too high shell, and then they're going to run their entire defense off that. think, you know, it's a 3-4 defense. They're going to do a lot of two-gapping. And when you can stop the run with basically seven guys or the same number of blockers that the offense has, that gives the defense an advantage. And what that also does, it allows you to have a lot of guys dropping back in zone coverage. You don't give up big plays, and you create turnovers. So when you can stop the run, when you can create turnovers, and you don't give up big plays, now you make the offense go 12, 15 plays down the field. And, you know, offensive linemen don't want to block for 10, 12 plays. They're going to commit a holding penalty. And so now the defense has an advantage. I just think those are some of the simple characteristics of being able to play not just dominant defense, but consistent defense where you don't give up but 15, 16, 17 points a game. If you do that, you'll have a chance to win a lot of football games.
Busy with Booger McFarland. Just how much impact do you see Rich Scangarello making on this offense?
Well, if you go back to Joe Flacco's best season, that I think was 2014 when he had Gary Kubiak. So I think Rich is going to run a similar system. Joe talked to us about he likes to have defined reads, meaning he wants to go to the line of scrimmage and know pre-snap and post-snap where the ball is going and not have to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like, he likes things defined to him. And I think Rich is going to do that. The zone scheme, Stink, you are way more familiar with that zone scheme than I am. It is a you-know-what to try to deal with as a defense, because as a defensive lineman, it forces you to run side to side. And to do that for four quarters is tough. Now you run the boot action off of that. You get Joe Flacco on the edge. He's got a really, really good tight end, Noah Fant. You see what Cortland Sutton is doing. You see what Emmanuel Sanders has done already coming back off the Achilles. I just think that this is tailor-made for Joe Flacco to be successful. Oh, by the way, you add in Philip Lindsay, who I think is a perfect one-cut downhill runner for this scheme. Like, if you're Joe Flacco and you had to leave Baltimore, which, you know, kind of tore something out of your heart, and you had to tailor-made kind of pick a situation to go to, I mean, Denver's got to be the perfect one, because they're going to build the offense and make it comfortable to your most successful year, which was 2014 under Gary Kubiak.
Hey, as we let you go, Booger, really appreciate the time that you've spent with us. Do you look at this team in the AFC West? Do they have a chance to be a playoff-caliber team?
I think they do. If I had to pick them in the playoffs, it'd probably be a wild card. I think when you look at what New England has done and how consistent they've been, Kansas City, and, you know, the heartbreak that they had losing the championship game at home last year, I like the Chargers. They suffer a devastating blow with Derwin James. But, you know, the AFC is very, very competitive. I think Denver's going to be there. I think that defense is going to be really outstanding. Bradley Chubb, I think he will compete for Defensive Player of the Year this year. Like, I think he's going to be that good. I mean, I watched that young man his rookie year, and I watch him this year. And not only that, I just watch the people around him. When you ask everybody in that building who to keep an eye on, who's going to make a really big impression, and I was expecting them to say, you know, one of these rookies or maybe Flacco. They said, you know, the guy who's going to be a totally different player from year one to year two is Bradley Chubb. So I think they're going to be led by defense, and I look for Chubb to be in top 3 to 5 for Defensive Player of the Year.
Booger, man, you're the best. Really appreciate you. Congratulations on all the success, and we'll talk to you down the road.
Anytime, man. Thanks for having me. I always look up to you, Stink, man. Appreciate the compliment, buddy.
You got it, man.
All right, there he is, Booger McFarland, Monday Night Football, ESPN. We appreciate the insight. Some very, very interesting comments there. Finishing up there with Bradley Chubb.